is Living Reconciled, a podcast dedicated to giving our communities practical evidence of the gospel message by helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured for us by living with grace across racial lines. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Living Reconciled, episode 29. I am your host, Brian Crawford, and I am not with my really, really, really good friends, Nettie Winters, Austin Hoyle, because I am on the road in Atlanta, Georgia, attending an unbelievable conference called My Boulevard Integrate. And I had the great privilege on this conference trip to invite members of my church family who I love dearly. And they have decided to join the podcast today. I don't know if they decided or I pulled them and roped them into joining the podcast today. But first, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, folks like Atmos Energy, Regents Foundation, Brown Missionary Baptist Church, Christian Life Church, Ms. Doris Powell, Mr. Robert Ward, Ms. Ann Winters. Thank you so much for everything that you do because you make Mission Mississippi and what we do possible. Good friends, Corey DeAmport, Judy, Nicole, Matt, have joined the podcast. I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about themselves. But they are members of City Light Church, a local church plant in Vicksburg, Mississippi, multi-ethnic that is 7 years now, 7 years old. God launched this church back in 2016, and it is, again, intentionally and deliberately from its inception, multi-ethnic. And so we're going to talk about, what does it look like to start a multi-ethnic church? What does it look like to actually be a member of a multi-ethnic church? What are the highs, lows, peaks, valleys, joys, surprises, all of that wrapped in one? So I'm going to start real quick and just open the floor. And guys, as I offer the floor to you, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself as well. But multi-ethnic church planning, tell me, what are the surprises that you had going in? In other words, what were your expectations starting versus what was the reality of starting out in a multi-ethnic church plant?
Blessings, family. Corey DeAmport, realtor by day, and I have the privilege of serving as worship pastor at City Light Church alongside my brother. And coming into it, I don't know that I really had expectations other than just being excited for the opportunity to serve alongside my brother, serving alongside you, Crawford.
Yeah.
In terms of the reality of what that looked like, it was different. The gaps were a lot larger than I thought that they would be. Because you think about the church, you think about family, you think about all the things that you have in common. But then when it gets to actual life on life and how we look at things and how we process things and how we experience things in terms of crossing those racial lines, those gaps were a lot bigger than I expected them to
be. So cultural gaps were a lot bigger.
Cultural gaps were a lot bigger.
All right, Matt, this is a good cue for you. I would love for you to chime in terms of just introducing yourself. And then I would like to hear from your vantage point, was your experience similar in the sense of larger cultural gaps than you expected coming in to City Light?
Sure. Thanks, Brian. I'm Matthew Clark, and I am a lawyer by day in Vicksburg, and I and my wife Heather were part of the launch team at City Light. We, I guess, joined in 2016. We were members of a wonderful Southern Baptist church there in the area, and Brian, you came and gave a vision cast at our church, and we were both just very taken in by your concept for City Light, and felt very led at first just to go to the Bible studies you were holding, and then eventually to join the launch team. And I would definitely agree that there have been cultural gaps, and there have been challenges, and I think they've been good. I think that I have been stretched in some positive ways, you know, in some, especially like for me, when I think about a majority culture context and the idea that a fish that's swimming in water doesn't really realize it's swimming in water, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and until it you know, sort of experiences something and realizes that that sort of this atmosphere that it's been in and just assume was the default isn't as defaulted as it thought. But what really, when we first started off, we came to Bible studies a couple times, and then you and I and Corey and I got together separately.
Mm-hmm.
You and I read a book together and discussed it, and the relationship happened first, and because that relationship happened, I realized that I just felt loved, and in feeling loved in this family sort of way, I realized it was safe to have discussions, and if I didn't understand something, I could ask, and you would respond in love. And when it came to, I guess, bridging gaps that came up and facing challenges that came up, that feeling of safety and love was the most important thing for me. That's what made that possible.
Yeah.
And there's still, and I mean, there still is, things do still come up at times, but because, again, because you guys made clear that this wasn't, you know, we weren't having a conversation so that we could disagree and then leave. We were right. having a conversation so that, we were family, and we were having a conversation, and we may not always agree, but we were still going to be family. That's what helped bridge that gap.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me, Judy, about this ideal of relationship and the concept of family being a source of strength in the multi-ethnic church, or a necessary source in the multi-ethnic church. I mean, it sounds like, from Matt's vantage point, it sounds like you got to have it. If you don't have this concept of family and relationship, you're probably not going to have a church with that many differences, that many cultural differences to navigate. You probably won't have that for long. So talk to me a little bit, as you introduce yourself, talk to me a little bit also about the role of relationship and its importance in the role in the life of the church.
Thank you, Brian. I'm Judy, and I work in sales, and I came to City Light about 7 years ago after hearing Pastor Brian speak at another local church, and I was just overwhelmed that he would be starting his own in Vicksburg. So I attended day one, and I've been there ever since. City Light, it's all inclusive. They, just from day one, it's been clear. It's just been clear what the mission has been, and it's open to the community. Pastor Brian had a goal to start a church in the city, and we work very hard, including canvassing neighborhoods that near us to invite people into this family. There are some times it's challenging, but for the most part, we support one another, are there for one another. I think the people, when people first come in, they're always pleasantly surprised how down to earth the members are, our pastor is, and just how open we are and compassionate we are for the members and the community. City Light it's one of the best churches that I've ever been to, and I've been to multicultural churches before. where you go, you hear the word, but there's no connection. With City Light, there is a connection. It doesn't matter where you're from, you know, what walk of life you come from, you are always welcome with open arms. And it is important to Pastor Brian and Candy and the members to have that family feel, not just within the church, but also we do things together as a family outside of the church. And that includes having hard conversations, that includes supporting one another, encouraging one another. And family is important. And we do have those hard conversations about race. And everyone is willing to just bare their soul and be open and honest. And I think when we do that, we're able to understand each other better and just be open to how others think about certain topics, and also learn and glean from one another just different ways of dealing with various situations that we face in this world.
Yeah, so like between Matt and between Judy, the theme, the ideal of family comes to mind in terms of being a bridge. You know, so Corey highlighted that there's a cult, you know, that the cultural divide is real. I mean, you can't escape that. It doesn't matter what church you go to. But Matt and Judy have highlighted that this concept of family and really making family a real idea and not something that's artificial, but a real bona fide idea has been part of the way that we bridge the gap as a church. Nicole, what would you say to that in terms of, is that one of the primary reasons why you think this works for us?
I do. And in addition to, we are purposeful in making sure that we have things in place, such as our DNA group, such as our missional community, that we to encourage and cultivate those relationships. Relationship is important in building any type of family. You have to have relationship, you have to have communication, and you have to have, people have to be able to sit down and talk honestly with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think we have created a very, very good opportunities for people to be able to do that. And all those things together help build and cultivate that relationship, in addition to, therefore, that family.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to take a quick pause. And when we come back, I'm going to be chatting again with my church family, Corey, Judy, Nicole, Matt. And we'll dive into a little bit of our joys and challenges in this particular work that the Lord has called us to here on this episode of Living Reconciled. Living Reconciled is a work of Mission Mississippi, but it is not our only work. From days of dialogue and prayer meetings to consultation for schools, businesses, and churches, Mission Mississippi is eager to help you, your team, your church, and your community live reconciled. Every month, join us for our weekly prayer breakfasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:45 a.m., our bi-weekly statewide connection meetings on Fridays at 10 a.m., and a focused time of prayer on the third Thursday of the month at 7 a.m. To get details on any of our upcoming events or to learn how you can invite us to your church, business, or school, visit our website at missionmississippi.org and click on the events button or call us at 601-353-6477. Hey, thanks again for joining us on this episode of Living Reconciled, episode 29. I am your host, Brian Crawford, and I am not with my really, 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 really fantastic, good friends, Nettie Winters, Austin Hoyle. They're at home. I'm in Atlanta enjoying a wonderful conference with a wonderful church family, my church family, good friends from City Light Church, Matt Clark, Nicole DeAmport, Judy Slaughter, Corey DeAmport. Nicole and Corey are married, by the way. And we're here having a conversation about our church, City Light Church. It's intentionally multi-ethnic, was planted back in 2017, started in 2016, actually, out of our house. And God has been incredibly gracious to us. And we are now in downtown Vicksburg, in the heart of Vicksburg. And we're talking about what life in a multi-ethnic church looks like. I want to talk a little bit about the challenges. Corey mentioned some cultural, you know, that there is, you know, there's obvious cultural divides. We don't, in fact, we don't run away from it, right? And so I want to talk a little bit about just kind of when you show up at City Light, you realize, oh, there's a lot of people here that are a little different than I am. How do we actually try to navigate through those challenges? I'm curious to hear from you guys. So anybody want to jump in on that?
I just think of what I think is a funny and representative story, which is when one of the sweetest people at our church, an older African-American woman, one time we were all after church, we were talking, and she mentioned that she wished that worship, she was used to worship being a bit more, boisterous. And it was very funny to me because from the churches I came from, I thought worship got pretty crazy. and so that was a really funny just cultural difference experience to me.
We talk about it a lot, right, at the church that we have these different polar ends that, you know, you got one end that's used to one style of worship in their tradition. You got another end that's used to an entirely different style in their tradition. And most of the time, you know, Corey, as the worship pastor, he and I, we chat a lot about just trying to hold the tension between the two ends, you know, and it's like a rope that you're trying to hold on to because there's a tug of war. One group wants to pull it to the other end. One group wants to pull it to the other end. And so before you know it, there, you know, if they had their way, then every song would be very solemn and very calm and quiet. And if we had it the other way, then we'd be running up and down the pews and turning cartwheels, you know? And so like we're trying to hold the rope and keep both ends together, man. So that's incredible. That's incredible. Give me some other things that have jumped out in your life at City Light and your journey in this church.
I love the fact that we are intentional about leaning into the differences. You know, it's not a thing, whether it's, you know, a cultural thing in terms of, you know, music or worship styles, or whether it's something that's happening in the country or around the world, you know, where, you know, people are divided. You know, we don't allow those things to divide us. You know, instead, we come together, you know, to the dinner table as if it were, you know, tacos and talk.
Right.
And we lean into those differences, you know, because the hope is behind one of our values, you know, universal unity, that the conversation does not change no matter who's at the dinner table.
Right.
Because we are family.
Right.
And so I love that we're intentional about that. And I think because we are intentional about that and we don't shy away from those, as Judy was saying, tough conversations, that's probably one of the reasons why we have seen such bonds form across the body, is because we lean in, we talk, we share one another's burdens, we listen, even though it may not be the conversation that's necessarily happening in your camp. You know, hearing the heart of your brother or your sister, you know, in terms of how this particular issue that's happening in the country is are landing on them, or hearing from my dear brother Matt, you know, on how this particular song blesses him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not really feeling that, you know, but because Matt is my brother, my family, and I do love him, I force myself to listen to that song.
And it's become a great song.
It's become one of the most beautiful songs we worship.
Absolutely. You
know? But that wouldn't have happened, you know, if not for, you know, the family aspect of the church.
Yeah.
You know, we lean into those differences, we embrace those differences, and we have a deeper love for each other because of those differences.
Yeah, yeah. And we had to take the rope and pull it a little bit to get it a little bit, you know, a little bit closer to us, you know. But the song, man, is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, man.
Yes.
Yeah. And here you guys mentioned these difficult conversations. You've talked about that a couple of times in terms of how we handle conversations, conflict, cultural divides, national divides, political divides. So sure, we have difficult conversations, but there's a tone and a tenor that we try to adopt when we have them.
Yes.
Right? We don't just go in willy-nilly, guns blazing. There's, I mean, because you can commit yourself to being honest and vulnerable and all these different things, and tear down a church,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or you can commit yourself to being honest and vulnerable and build a healthiness in the church.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what is it that we're trying to do and trying to accomplish when we have the difficult conversations, or rather, in what way and manner do we approach these difficult conversations that leads to healthiness versus terror and chaos?
Our approach at all times, I believe, is always wrapped in grace, mercy, and above all else, love. And is shared in such a way that is not hostile. It's not pointing fingers. The only finger that is pointed to is Christ. And our pastor has a great way of opening the scripture and directing everything that's going on in the world, whatever the issues are, social or whatever, and directing it to the word and how Christ would have us to deal with those issues. And what, because it is approached that way, everyone is able to walk away with information that they can, for lack of a better word, chew on throughout the week, and also challenge their own way of thought, and maybe even have something in their tool belt that they can go back to their family members and share with them to give them another view of looking at those same situations.
Yeah. That's good, Nicole. I appreciate that. Each one of you are leaders in our church, right? In some capacity, some shape, form, or fashion. So you've seen, you've dealt with people in our church, you've connected with people, you've built relationships, you've cultivated relationships. So tell me some of the joys that you have experienced at City Light. You can talk about it from the vantage point of leadership, or you can just talk about it just naturally from just being a member at this church. But share with me, from your experience, some of the joys that God has given you and gifted you as a result of being a part of this church.
For me, City Light is everything. I have found respect, honesty, joy. Pastor Brian is a great orator. He breaks the word down. And I'm able to apply it in my everyday life. So it's very helpful. I have found camaraderie, family, support at City Light. It really is a light on a hill for me.
Appreciate that, sis. And what anybody else in terms of just being a part of a church where all these different cultures are colliding, right? And you're getting these different experiences and some discomforts in the midst of all of that. How is God blessing you through the discomforts and through the exposures to new cultures and new experiences and new backgrounds?
I think, you know, he's allowed your family to expand in that. I have relationships with people and their children that I would have never had relationships with before. And to the point where I feel comfortable going to those people, talking to them, going to their house, eating, playing with their kids. I mean, just in loving their children. And because we have our missional community groups, because we have our DNA groups as well,
right.
It's just wonderful opportunities where we've been able to cultivate these relationships with these people and really extend our family in Christ. They may not look like you. They may not have the same cultural background as you, but at the end of the day, you learn that people are people and that we're all in need of a Savior, and that we're all just trying to walk this life day by day, living right before Christ. Everybody has that same testimony. You know, we all can have that same testimony that we're all just trying to get through life day by day, no matter the color of our skin. But definitely the relationship and extending our family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate what you said at the end, Nicole, that at the end of the day, we realize how much alike we really are.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure. There's incredible, you know, we started with, you know, the idea that we are different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Culture proves that. I mean, our cultural experiences prove that out every time. Yeah. You know, we show up and one song, somebody leans in, another person leans back. Yeah. Next song, somebody leans in, and the same person that was leaning back leans in.
Absolutely.
And then the same person that was leaning in, leans back, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's obvious. And yet at the same time, as we continue to grow in this identity as family and continue to nourish that and feed that, we realize that our similarities are incredibly more pronounced than our differences.
Absolutely.
And part of this journey of reconciliation is staying at the table long enough.
That's true.
To get there.
Absolutely.
You know, and there has to be this resiliency, and the resiliency comes from understanding that we are family.
Yeah.
That's right.
That, you know, I mean, that's what makes any family resilient, right? Mm-hmm. It's the identity of family itself.
Absolutely.
You know, so like if I got a blood brother, I'm sticking with that blood brother. Why? Because he's my blood. He's my blood.
Absolutely.
And so he can be crazy and we can have all kinds of knockdown drag outs, but I'm going to be resilient. Why? Because he's my brother.
That's right.
You know, and that same kind of resiliency is ultimately expected in the house of God with the people of God. And so this has been incredible. An incredible privilege, a really good privilege for me. I'm giddy right now hanging out with my church family. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. We want to point you guys to our podcast for those that are listening. Any podcast app that you have, you can subscribe to this podcast, Living Reconciled. If you type it in, it's probably the first podcast that'll show up. Please like, subscribe, share. We would love to get your feedback also. And then also I want to point you to one more thing. October the 26th, in other words, this coming week, this coming Thursday, we are hosting at the Jackson Convention Complex our first Living Reconciled celebration in 4 years. It's our first post-COVID Living Reconciled celebration, and we are incredibly excited about it. We have all sorts of breakout discussions set up. We have a live recording before a live audience of this podcast, our 30th episode, that we are really excited about. And then we're going to close the day off with an incredible banquet with awesome singing by a dear brother of mine by the name of Donovan Thigpen and the Metro Worship Collective. And we're going to be also honoring men and women who have had profound impact on the work of reconciliation over the past 30 years in our state. And so it's going to be a beautiful day. We want to invite you. You can go to missionmississippi.org and sign up, register. We would love to have you come and attend and join us in this celebration of 30 years beyond barriers through Living Reconciled. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Living Reconciled. Until next week, where I get a chance to meet some of you in person, this is Brian Crawford with my guests, Matt, Judy, Corey, Nicole, signing off and saying God bless. Thanks for joining Living Reconciled. If you would like more information on how you can be a part of the ongoing work of helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured, please visit us online at missionmississippi.org or call us at 601-353-6477. Thanks again for listening.